In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, we're jumping the gun just a little bit. It's December 6th. You have still have finals, I know. But this is one of the last Sundays we're all going to be together. And so we just thought we got to celebrate, all right? We got to celebrate Christmas season a little bit early. I know that a lot of you guys, you have heard the Christmas story before. I know you've heard the words. Some of you have even memorized the facts. But even now, even for those of you who've heard it before, doesn't hearing the story of the birth of Christ stir your hearts? Isn't it amazing to just sit and listen and think about it? It is such a humble, simple story. And yet, it's filled with majesty and power and glory. And I love that video that we just watched, where it steps us through these events in history, because it puts the story of the birth of Christ in its context, in the right place in history. It is the culmination of so many events, so much history that we can read about in the Old Testament. The history of God literally revealing himself to people. The story and the history of him drawing us near to him. You know, there's a lot of drama about Christmas these days, right? And there's a lot of things that people would have us believe about what Christmas is all about, right? If we look around in our culture, we'll see different stories. Some people believe that it's about getting gifts, finding gifts, right? Black Friday, I don't even get it. But our culture has said this is about getting stuff. And about consumerism and materialism, or it's about Santa Claus, right? Who's this old guy who judges us and then decides whether we get gifts or not. Which frankly, if you take a step back, it's pretty creepy to think about it that way, right? And a little dysfunctional. Or there's some people that would have us think, really, it's about discussions about Starbucks Christmas cups, right? Yeah, was your Facebook feed filled with that for about 2 days? Or being upset that people are now saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Guys, that's not what we should be focusing on and what this season is about. What is Christmas really about? It's about this story. It's about this grand love story between God and us. It's about this moment in history when the creator of the universe literally physically invaded our world. to save us, to make things right, to bring redemption. Isn't that amazing? All the other stuff, we can forget about that. God himself came to make things right. Sophie was just reading to us out of Luke chapter 2. I want to continue the story a little bit more. And this is in verse 25. This is right after Jesus came and was circumcised and named Jesus. It says this, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came in the Spirit into the temple." So we see this man named Simeon, and he was waiting. And it says in this passage, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that even mean? When you hear the word consolation, what do you think of? Right? You think consolation prize, right? Which is the thing that you get when you didn't get what you really wanted, right? That's not what this is talking about. The word consolation here, the Greek word is paraklesis. And when it's used in scripture, in this context, it means that which affords comfort or refreshment. The comfort of Israel, the refreshment of Israel is here. Now, why did Israel need comfort and refreshment? Let me explain this to you really quickly. The nation of Israel was a nation, a people called by God to follow him and to actually bring God glory and to be a light to the world. They were to be a people that would point people towards the true God. And we can read about the history in the Old Testament. It's rich with the story of the ups and downs of these people. They had joy and they had hardship. They had captivity and they had freedom. They had idolatry and they suffered consequences, and there were failures and sins and then times of repentance. And it's this long journey and it's this hard journey of trying to learn what it means to live for God. But along the way, in the midst of the brokenness of their own lives, in the midst of the sin that they were committing and the idolatry that they'd fallen into, there was this hope. See, God had sent prophets to these people. There was hope for comfort, hope for refreshment, hope that a Messiah, a Savior would come, and he would make all things right. He would bring redemption and refreshment. In fact, the wording in this passage is the same language used over and over again in the book of Isaiah, where there are these promises of comfort and refreshment, and they're spoken of again and again. I just want to share one with you. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. You may be familiar with this. It says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. On the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." There is a time that was pointed to, a time of justice, a time of righteousness, a time of peace. Now, a lot of these prophecies in the book of Isaiah, they took place between 740 to 700 BC, okay? And so the nation of Israel, the people, were given this hope, and they started waiting, right? When somebody tells you something good's about to happen, you start waiting. You're anxiously awaiting its arrival. And they were waiting. And as time went by, instead of getting better, things got worse. The nation was scattered, and then there was silence. There was no prophecy. There was no word from God for 400 years. And they started living under Roman rule, and it was cruel, and they suffered, and generation after generation would wonder, where is this Messiah? When is he coming? When is God going to show up? Think about that just for a second, okay? In this scene, we are now over 700 years later. Could you even imagine waiting for something that long? Generations were born and died waiting. Simeon is waiting. Waiting is hard, isn't it? Who likes to wait? We hate to wait. Our culture probably, McKenna Winters likes to wait. Okay, did you raise your hand? We got one. We don't like to wait at all. I shared this at the fall retreat, but this summed it up so great for me. My 8-year-old daughter, Megan, she started texting a while back, and she's texted me, and she was really excited, and she wanted to tell me a message. So she sent this, and she's texted, "I love you so much, Daddy." And then I didn't respond, and later she said, "You are the best thing ever, Daddy." Because she wanted to connect with me. She wanted me to respond. And then when I didn't respond again because I was in the car, this is what she wrote. "Please respond now, 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 now." Angry face, angry face, angry face, angry face. You can see 6:42, 6:47. 5 minutes. We went from "Daddy, you're the best" to "Please respond now." But it's like 16 of the red angry faces and then the snorting air ones, there's like 19 of them. I don't know how many. That's us, right? That's us waiting. "I gave it 5 minutes, Dad. You're now in the doghouse." 700 plus years. Now think about waiting for something more important than a text. Think about how in our lives we wait for bigger things as well, don't we? When there's something that we really want, something that's meaningful and important, the big things of life, when we're experiencing real hardship and real pain and real sorrow and real suffering, and we want God to show up and we want him to do something, waiting is so hard. Or how about when we look at the world and we see the brokenness and the injustice? We're seeing that right now, right? In the news every day. We see injustice. We see hardship. And don't you ask that question? God, are you going to show up? Why can't this be fixed? When will there be healing? We can connect with that, can't we? We connect with the struggle of waiting. Because if we're honest, we each have a knowledge of this brokenness. We have a knowledge of this need and understanding that things are just not right and they need to be fixed. And a sincere belief that there's something more, there's something better that we were made for as individuals and as people. And if we're really honest, there's a sorrow that comes with that, isn't there? There's a sadness. Because whatever the world has tried to sell us, whatever they've tried to convince us of, deep down we know we come face to face with this knowledge that we can't fix this ourselves. We haven't been able to do it. We need help. And so just like the Israelites, just like Simeon, we wait. We're hungry for healing. We're waiting for answers. And so many times we wonder, where is God? Is he listening? Is he near? That is this scene. This little scene is that picture. Generations of questions in this moment. And I love how this passage, it's this grand story of a whole people, and yet it's also a deeply personal story of just one individual, one guy, Simeon. And he must have had all the same questions, and we know so little about him. We don't know about his family or his job. People have speculated that he might have been a priest and that he's old. The text doesn't actually say that. All we know is that he's righteous and he's devout. He's spiritually sensitive. He's a God-fearing individual, and we also know that he was one of the few individuals who still had hope, who had not given up hope that God would fulfill his promise of a Messiah, of a Savior. There were others who had given up, others who had decided maybe we just need to take matters into our own hands. Maybe God isn't coming. But a few, like Simeon, waited patiently, believing in faith that God might do something. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He had hope. And all of a sudden, in one moment in time, he's rewarded for his faith. He sees Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And everything is about to change. So when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms, Simeon, and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. What a moment. What a moment where after all of this waiting and all of this pain and all of this hardship, Simeon puts his eyes on Jesus and on seeing this child and picking him up, he prays God. He had joy. This is the response of men and women toward the Messiah all throughout the Gospel of Luke and throughout history. Just like Alexa, just like Brandon, Simeon recognized Jesus as the one he had been waiting for. He recognized Jesus as the one he had been spending his whole life wanting to meet. And in response, he shares this beautiful hymn. And that's what this section of scripture is. There's actually three hymns in the first two chapters of Luke. And they're all hymns set in the time of the infancy of Jesus. And they're all proclaiming bold truths about who he is. This is the joyous response of Simeon to meeting the Messiah. And he declares, God is faithful. There's this moment where he realizes, you know what? He has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten me. All the pain, all the hardship, all the brokenness, all the mistakes I may have made along the way, he has still not forgotten. He is acting for his people. He is saving them. Salvation is found in him. My eyes have seen it. They have seen your salvation. This baby is not just going to be another teacher, another great teacher. He came to save us from our sins, from our own brokenness, from our own pain. Truth and light are found in him. All the questions I have had, all the answers are found in him. And for the first time in the New Testament, we see clearly reaffirmed the promises of the Old Testament that this isn't just for the nation of Israel, that he came for the whole world. He came as a light to the Gentiles. And what's interesting is that Simeon probably had no idea how all this would happen. None. All he knew is that God had showed up. And this passage can seem so dry, and it can seem just informational. The joy in this moment must have been incredible. Right? That joy, when all of your hopes and all your waiting, it becomes a reality. You ever see those videos they show of like military parents coming home and surprising their kids? You ever see those? I'm like a total sucker for those. And the kid, that look of shock, and he runs to his dad or he runs to his mom, and there's this joy and this elation. The waiting is over. It's like this, but way, way bigger. Right? In Proverbs, it says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true, there is life and there is joy." You know, I love the Christmas season because even in this season, we get glimpses of this, right? When you watch your kids open gifts and maybe they got what they hoped for and you see that look of surprise and that look of joy, they can be precious moments when we see people in our lives receive things that they had hoped for. But those are fleeting moments, aren't they? They're there for just a second and then they're gone. My daughter, she's so smart. She's so wise. She just turned 14 yesterday, Savita. And she was telling me this week, she's like, "Dad, I think I like the days before Christmas. more than I like the actual day of Christmas, because beforehand there's all this excitement and expectation of what you're going to get, but then the day never really lives up to the hype. Because stuff doesn't really bring you joy. Like, you're so deep. That's so true, right? Right? It never quite lives up to the hype, does it? If it had all worked out yesterday and OSU would have made the playoff, it wouldn't have lived up to the hype. It would have been a week's joy, a day's joy. And don't we live that way? It's fleeting. It's gone. And this passage and what we just heard in those slices, it's something different than that. It's something real. It's something meaningful, life-altering, something that radically changes the way we view God and his character. And I love, as we read through Scripture, we see that Jesus was nothing like anyone expected. Nothing. Right? And even in Brandon and Alexa's stories, we hear what they thought Jesus was like, and he was nothing like it. And Simeon would have been experiencing that too. The Jews were expecting a ruler. They're expecting someone to govern, maybe a military leader. They expected power, and they got an infant in a manger. They got a Jesus who hung out with all the forgotten and the hurting and the outcast. They got a Jesus teaching in parables that were difficult to understand, turning the ways of the world on its head. They got a Jesus who allowed himself to be sacrificed on a cross for them. Jesus was not what they expected, but he was exactly who they needed. Exactly who they needed. This time of year reminds us, if nothing else, that our hope is not in a what. Our hope is in a who. It's not in stuff. It's not in nice platitudes. It's not even in abstract concepts like giving and peace. Our hope is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. I want to ask you guys this morning, how do you see Jesus? Simeon declares he is our salvation. He is our light. He is the healer. He is the bringer of peace, the wonderful counselor, the one who ushers in justice and illuminates us to answer the questions of our heart. He carries the hopes and dreams of a whole people, of an entire world. And he is changing lives. That's what he does. One Simeon at a time, one Alexa at a time, one Brandon at a time. The fog has lifted. The world has changed. Everything is different. Because our hope is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So I have in my possession something very valuable. This is one of my kids' Christmas wish lists. And I know you're thinking to yourself, okay, didn't we just say it's not about getting stuff at Christmas? Isn't it greedy? No, I do not think it's greedy to have hopes and dreams for receiving something for Christmas. The question is, what are we hoping for, right? No one would have judged Simeon for his hope because he was hoping for something good. And I want to ask you guys this morning, or maybe we've inched our way into afternoon, I want to ask you, what are you hoping for in this season? Simeon asked that God would show that he was with us, that he would come in a profound way and they'd get a glimpse of his faithfulness, that he would come and show his goodness and his power. He believed that God was still moving. And there was still hope that redemption could take place. And I know a lot of us were tempted to settle for far less than that. And as you think about the next 3 or 4 weeks, you could be thinking about things like just getting through your finals, or playing a bunch of video games, or getting a bunch of sleep, or maybe God giving you a relationship like you always wanted. And we set the bar lower and lower. And on this piece of paper are things that is just stuff. Stuff that we think and we probably know won't make us truly happy or truly fulfilled, but we figure it'll help the journey go a little better. through the brokenness and the pain or whatever else we're wrestling with. I want to share with you one of my favorite quotes. This is from C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. He says this: "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." We need to ask for something more this Christmas. We need to expect and hope for something more. I don't know all of you here. I suspect that for some of you, this is just an invitation. This is an invitation to a restored relationship with God. Maybe you're trying to figure out what you believe, or maybe you're familiar with Alexa's story or Brandon's story because you're living it right now, where you've sat in a church and you've heard certain things, or you've put on a mask of Christianity, but you've never come face to face with Jesus Christ himself, and you've never wrestled with who he is and what his coming really means. But deep down, you know that you're broken. You know that you're just like the Israelites, that not only have you sinned and you failed, that deep down you know in your heart you don't have what it takes to make yourself right. Maybe you've been trying and you've been scrambling to try to fix yourself. And if that's the case, this invitation is for you. Because God so loved you, he came himself. He didn't send a book. He didn't send some messengers. He decided that he would step into our world to make things right. And it wasn't because we're on the nice list. We're on the naughty list. And this gift is still for us, only because of his grace, only because of his mercy. I want to ask you guys today, could this be the season that you believe? Could this be the season that you finally say, "Yes, God, I believe you are near, and I believe in the one you sent, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for me to save me because I could not save myself, because I want a restored relationship with you. I want to begin a relationship that will reveal healing and redemption and answers and truth to me. I want to experience what Alexa and Brandon and Simeon talk about, the comfort and the refreshment that come from the Lord, that come through a restored relationship with him." I just want to tell you guys, you can have that this Christmas. You can have that just by communicating openly and honestly to God that that is the desire of your heart, to respond to him and say yes to him. This could be the Christmas season you never forget for the rest of your life. And for a lot of you, I know you're at a different place, maybe at a place where you have a relationship with Jesus already, love Jesus. And I want to just say to you, this is an opportunity to be reminded of the hope that you have. Because all of us, we still wait in hope, don't we? We still live in this broken place, and we're still dealing with this hard world where there's sin and there's brokenness in our life and all around us, and we're hoping for redemption, to see glimpses of it, more evidence that he is near and he is with us. And even now it can feel like he is distant and he is forgotten. And there's things that are on your heart even now in this season, right? Relationships that you wish were healed, or families that you wish would bond together, or struggles that you have in your own life that you wish you could be free of, grand dreams of righteousness for this world, for justice and love and peace. And this season can be a reminder that you do not struggle alone, that your God has not forgotten. He is not distant. He is not forgetful. He is still with us. And we know that our true hope lies when he comes back again and he makes all things new. We know that as followers of Jesus. But in this season, we could be reminded of the reality that he is with us now and he is still working now. We could remember the goodness of our God. We can celebrate his faithfulness to us, and we can even allow ourselves to hope again. And just like Simeon, we don't know if he's going to answer our prayers or fulfill our hopes in ways that we expect, but we could take comfort in knowing he is with us, and the consolation of Israel is still bringing comfort and refreshment to his people today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity to remember your goodness. Everything we have sung about, everything we have witnessed, everything we've spoken about points us to one place, that you are good. You are better than we could ever imagine, and you are powerful. And Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that even when no one on this planet understood how there was a way, you made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who is confused by that or doesn't understand what that means, I pray that they would call out to you for help. Lord, we believe you answer all who call. And Lord, I pray for the next 3 or 4 weeks for all of us as a community that this would be a time of genuine celebration and genuine joy, not because of the gifts we receive that are stuff, but because of the gift we have received, a new life through you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.